day, everyone. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. It's me, your host, Matt B. Davis. And today is my buddy, Kevin Fuller, a.k.a. K-Fu. Sometimes on this program, it's someone I've never met before. It's someone that I reached out to because I thought it would be a great conversation for me and for you, the listener. Sometimes it's somebody I've known or known of. And in this case, this is actually someone that I call a friend. My buddy, Kevin, as you'll hear, this was one of those false starts where we tried it once and it never made the air. But as I always say, everything in its time. And it was time for me and Kevin to get down to business. I love Kevin as a friend. I love him as a human being. I love him as a person. And he and I over the years have helped each other a lot with various business stuff. And we've just been a great sounding board for each other about life and family and everything. And like a real friend, not just like, hey, how you doing, buddy? A real friend. And let's get into it. You're going to learn all about him. Kevin Fuller and I, from just a couple weeks ago, back on the old studio porch of Alkaloid. Away we go.
Kevin Fuller.
The Kevin Fuller.
K-Fu.
Or K-Fu.
Kevin, we did this once. I just got back from some trip. I can't remember what it was. I drove straight to your house, which was down by the airport at the time.
Yeah, I picked you up from the airport.
You picked me up from the airport. Wow, that's really going back then. I don't know the last time I didn't drive myself or take a Lyft. So
it's because you're big time now.
Or maybe you picked me up because we wanted to do this and we just thought that was the way to do it.
I don't remember.
But it never made the air, which happens sometimes. But I believe the guy I just had on, Matt Hinton, owner of Bell Street Burritos, but also a musician and filmmaker.
I think timing's everything. We actually met him at the same day.
We did?
We did.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
So yeah, so everything in its time. God, this weather is awesome. Can you describe this weather for everybody?
It's a nice breeze. This is Atlanta, so it's always hot somewhere in the city.
Right.
We're sitting on a front porch, and there's a really good breeze coming through. This is incredible.
Speaking of Atlanta, are you a fan of the television show called Atlanta?
I am.
I just went through and watched it again, Kevin. It is, I can't tell you percentage-wise how much better it is the second time.
Yeah, I go back through and I watch different episodes that I like
right.
Over and over and over.
Okay, what is it? All right, well, now see how I said that we know where this is going to go?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This could be right. Deep Dive Atlanta podcast for however long. So tell me what you, what do you usually go for? What's the one you most recently went to?
My favorite is when he plays in the club and Earn is trying to get his money.
Right.
That is my absolute favorite.
I think that episode is, in fact, called The Club.
Right, and with the invisible car.
Oh, dude, spoiler alert.
That is my favorite. Watching Paperboy get his money when Earn couldn't get it. That's my favorite one.
Well, I saw the jail episode on a plane, okay? And I had just had that experience. I had just been arrested. I was fucking howling in the seats. I'm not kidding, dude.
Right.
Like one of those, like people are like looking at me because I literally had just been through that.
Right.
Right. And it's like, oh my God, this is really what it's like.
What
right?
plane were you on that they were playing in Atlanta?
Like it had been on like the year before. So they were playing like, you know, certain on the airplane, you get like three episodes of something.
Oh, gotcha,
you know what I mean? Gotcha. And so it was that episode and maybe, yeah, like the first episode and then the jail is the second episode. So yeah, the first, yeah. So I'd seen those two and then I hadn't seen it. And the second season started, and we just watched the second season. So then when we went back, my wife and I went back, I started with the second season. I don't know why. I think because I wanted to see what's his name so bad. Who's in
Cat Williams?
Yeah, I wanted to see Cat. I wanted
Gator
to see
Man.
I wanted
Gator
to see
Man.
I wanted to see Alligator Man.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's just start there. So we rode the whole second season, and then I went back and watched the first season, and like it's almost a different show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when you mentioned the invisible car, there's so much more of that, I feel like, in the second season. So much more, like, what do you call that? Like, just surreal shit going on?
Or subliminal stuff that's happening. Do you remember the episode with the cereal? With the cereal commercials between the episode?
Oh, when they did that weird... That was season one.
Was it season one?
Yeah, when they did the fake, the Black Entertainment Network. And they were determining like if Paperboy was a racist.
Yeah.
That was trippy.
Yeah. But the show is so timely for what's happening now. Like everyone's trying to figure out what is politically correct now.
Right.
Right. You know, what it is to be black, what it is to be white, what it is to see a black person, like, how do you address a black person? Like, the show is so timely. Like, they just nail it. They just nail it. And I like it because it's not the typical, I prefer the term black over African-American.
It's okay.
It's not the typical black television show. So it really shows, like, how, like, diverse black people are. You know, you have from Earn to, what is it, Paperboy?
Right.
And what's Paperboy's best friend? Oh, my God. Is that played by Lakeith Stanley?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so now I can't. God, right.
Yeah, he's hilarious. But this is diversity in our culture. I really like that about the show. Like, I hate when they give us TV shows and they try to depict us as, like, stupid or they don't think we can think. And I'm just like, this is awful. Yeah.
But I think it's also if you've just gone to college,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and just gotten a job out of college, you might not understand. Like, I relate to that hustle culture.
Right.
A lot.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the point is, like, you could do a whole entire different race of cast and the story would still make sense.
Right.
Absolutely would still make sense.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I think everybody's other favorite is Tracy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when Tracy's like, dude, I got this $4,000. We're gonna convert your cards to, and like, Earn is supposed to be the smart one. And you right. go, Earn, don't give him all your money.
Right. When Earn tried to trade up and got the dog, he's like, yeah, I need $2,000. All right, well, we're gonna trade up. And then you got the dog. He's like, just wait. And then you sell the dog. You have your $2,000. He's like, I need my money now.
Right. Like, my kids need to eat today. But they bring it around in first episode of season two, and I only know this because I watched them so closely together. Because right. It's like fucking 2 years before seasons.
Right.
He gives them this envelope full of cash, and he's like, "Oh, people really love these dogs."
Right. The best show.
So I also really like the its take on music culture, right?
Right.
Like when they go to like the Spotify thing.
Right.
Or whatever that thing's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's like the lamest fucking white people.
Right.
And you know that's how it really is.
Absolutely.
And I don't know anything about the music industry, but I'm like, I bet that's fucking spot on. Yeah. That's who you've got to sell to. Like some young fucking idiot that's going to tell you what's good.
Who thinks everything is, you know, he's the gatekeeper at age 25.
Right.
Yeah. With no life experience. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? That's kind of everything. Like, you know, even in furniture, like, there's always, like, some young guy that says, this is what's happening, you know, this is what's now.
Well,
it's always the same.
Well, this makes me think of this whole concept of the industry plant, right? Uh-huh. And it's, like, big labels, whether it's movies or music, they've always kind of get to say, well, we're going to, like, they knight people. Right. Now, obviously, the people, like, we buy with our pockets.
Right.
But sometimes I think about that. Like, if you have a friend whose band is really good or a comic you know that's really good, and you're just like, it really is about that break.
Right.
Because, like, why, like, this person, if I played you some song, if I played my friend's songs on the radio, you'd go, oh, that's a great song. But
right.
if you just fucking see him at some bar, you know what I'm saying?
Right. There was a girl named Davina. She had a really good album. Like, it was out on Loud Records, I believe. And, like, I've been trying to find this album forever. But they never pushed her album. So she might have went, like, you know, double nickel. But, like, it's one of the best albums I've ever heard. And she
really?
Plays every instrument, like, just like Prince would. Like,
right.
She's really, really good. And someone keeps stealing my copies. Every time I get a copy, somebody steals it. And she's not – I can't download her anywhere. I haven't been able to find her to download her. So, but I get it, you know. And I think the thing is, it's like you and I talk about all the time. It's the hustle. Like, the way we know each other is, like, we've never sat around saying, woe is me. I'm waiting for my break. I'm waiting
right.
for my chance.
Right.
You know, there was no ORM. You're like, oh, okay, I see a gap. I'm going to take it.
Right.
You know, like, we've never been, and that's the thing I enjoy about you, because I'm like, yo, if Matt can do it, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to figure it out. Matt's got 3 kids and a wife. I'm going to figure it out. There ain't no quit. I'll figure it out.
Well, but I think, so you and I, when we met, okay, and I had the staffing company,
mm-hmm.
and you had the low voltage company.
Yep.
It was like, I think we both were at this point of, so I figured out how to make a dollar, but I'm kind of miserable.
Bingo. Bingo.
But I was so, it was my first business. I think for you, right. You'd already had your fifth or sixth business. But for me, it was like, but this beat's working for the man, so I'll do it.
I'll do it. Right.
I'm like kissing a lot of ass that I don't enjoy kissing.
Right.
But this beat's a job.
Right. And that's what I figured out. Like Electronic Environments, I was Kevin Fuller of Electronic Environments.
I was
not Kevin Fuller. I was, you know, that's Kevin from Electronic Environments, which was cool for business, but like we got to a point where it was all politics. You know, as politicians, you know, I mean, we did stuff at the airport, we did stuff at municipality buildings, you know, it just wasn't fun anymore at all. Like the whole vision was to build a company where I could work with my best friend every day.
Lee.
Yeah, Lee. And then it became, you know what, I want to kill you. I want to kill everybody in this building.
Like, all right, well, we need to set the record straight, by the way.
No one's dead.
What's that?
No one's dead.
Did you – stop me if this is inappropriate.
Go for it.
Did you knock the power out at the airport?
Yes.
No, wait. There were a couple – those of you that have lived in Atlanta a few years, there were a couple times. You were one of them.
I was one of them.
Because I see news – airport, it's like a it's like a scene from Atlanta, right? Like airport shut down. Like Kevin, what the fuck did you do, man?
right. Yeah, we knocked out power in the North Terminal. Yeah, it was.
Is that Delta? Is Delta North? No, Delta South.
Delta South. Right. It was a nightmare. Getting a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning saying the power's out and it's your fault. Oh my God, it was a nightmare. Straight nightmare. But we made it through it, and you know, I think it's one of those lessons. Like nothing scares me anymore. If I can knock out the power at the airport. You can get through anything, you know. You really can.
Yeah, I mean, I look back on all that stuff, and, like, you saw me, like, through that. Like, I think a lot of the worst of it, young kids, this company I kind of hate, and honestly thinking it's the only way out. Like, in many ways, I was trapped just as anybody with a 9-to-5. It was like, what am I going to do? I hate this, but what else can I do? Just how people feel about taking the leap to start a new business.
Right.
But it was like, you know, if where else am I going to get somebody to write me a check this large?
Right.
If this is all I know.
Right.
So when you say I filled the gap with the OCR stuff, trust me, like timing, it's not like I'm a genius.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it doesn't take a genius. It takes persistence.
Right.
It takes not quitting. It takes just doing. You know, ain't nothing new about a goddamn chair or sofa.
Right.
I just put my label on it.
Right.
You know, but it's just persistence, man. It's just persistence. If you would have told me, you know, when I created, my furniture business 5 years ago, like, I mean, you were there. I think you were at the team meeting, weren't you?
I don't know if I was at the team meeting, but I know that I've been your friend that long.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to build furniture.
Right.
You know, I had no intentions of, like, recognition. I had no intentions of, like, being where I am. I just loved doing it. I just love the piece of it. I just love, you know, that I was finally Kevin Fuller. Like, I finally figured out what do I like to do. And it wasn't about the money. It absolutely wasn't about the money. You know, and now I enjoy it because I did everything they said you shouldn't do in this business.
Which is?
I didn't bow down to the powers that be.
Okay.
You know, like, everything I create is original. They're saying you're not going to make it if you just do original pieces.
Supposed to do?
That's what I said. What are you supposed to do? You know, I kept going to these seminars and stuff. And everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone has the same look. You know, you go to the furniture shows every year, and everyone has the same exact gray couch made by the same manufacturer.
Really?
Oh God, yeah, yeah. I could, yeah. Oh God, yeah. Don't ever do that. And then you know, the only difference is the label on the furniture. That's it. 9 times out of 10, everyone's getting their stuff made at the same places. You know, it's just the label, you know, and it's for me, like I took like the rap career approach to it. You know, I was like the guy that's slinging pillows out of his trunk, kind of.
Right.
You know, just like they did mixtapes. I was like, someone's going to hear my mixtape someday.
Right.
I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Somebody's going to hear it. You know, and I think that's the approach. Period. That's the same thing you do with it, you know, with obstacle racing. You're like, you know, someday this is going to be it. And somebody's going to hear me screaming that this is it. And it's just persistence and patience. Persistence and patience. When I first started, man, I couldn't sell a pillow for $15. You know, this February, I sold 27 sets of pillows in 2 weeks for, you know, $75 a pair.
And where are you selling these? Like,
I have no website. It's all Instagram. Like twice a year, I'll put pillows up and put them on Etsy, and I literally sell them for 30 days and take them down. You know,
so it's a lot of Venmo and Cash App.
A lot of Venmo, a lot of Cash App. IRS, your check is in the mail.
Trust me, they'll figure it out.
Oh, they figured it out.
Have we talked about this? Are you bullish on crypto? Have we talked about this?
I am, but I got in way early.
Okay.
Yeah, I got in Bitcoin around 18. I got in Ethereum around 556. So I know it's crashing today, but I'm like, all right, you know. And then I cashed out a good bit, so I made a good bit of money. When
right.
I was like 50s, 60s, I cashed out. I was like, you know, shit can't last forever. So like I cashed out.
All right, we'll get back to crypto. So so for you, it's just social media and word of mouth and
that's it. And if you see my social media page, I don't put my face on my social media page for no more than 24 hours. Like, I was really determined.
You have a lot of inappropriate memes, which I like.
Well, that's my personal page.
Right. Not everybody has that.
No.
Okay.
No. Not everyone will have that. Matter of fact, I don't even post on there anymore. Well, I did last week because I was mad. But, like, I don't.
Who are you mad at?
I don't remember. I was just, you know, every now and then you need that space to vent. And it used to be my Twitter page. It used to, like, vent on Twitter.
Right.
But now people read my stuff on Twitter, so I'm like, oh, crap.
Right.
So, you know.
Dude, we've all done it. I've put stuff up and taken it down. I have a pretty good. I have a pretty good network, like some people I can message and we can have a good laugh. Mm-hmm. Or my wife is a good vent, you know, person.
Right.
Dude, I know you know this, and whoever's listening, if you don't care, you don't care. Fucking Stacy is fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah, she's funny.
And she came on and did a podcast about her whole family and they were not happy.
Oh.
And it was at first, she was like, F them, but then she kind of did see, like, there were some places where she could have let them know. And,
right.
But I'm like, so she'll probably, it may never happen for her, but I'm like, honey, if you said the stuff you say to me in an Instagram video, you would be just as popular as these, like, there's chicks that do that, right? Like, it used to be have a blog that did that or have a YouTube that does that. Like, the stuff she says about schools, about vaccines, about everything going on is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, she's funnier than you.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
And she does painting now.
Yeah, and so okay. So here's the thing with art, right? Talking about who decides, right?
Some 25-year-old.
Well, let me just say this. Girl I went to high school with, okay? She's one of those like helps like bunch of rich white buckhead women that like if you get in her corner, she just says to her friend like, "Oh, You know what you should go up here? A piece by Stacey Davis."
Right.
And all of a sudden, rich buckhead white ladies are giving you thousands of dollars for your art, right?
That's me. That's exactly me.
And I'm not saying my wife isn't talented, because she is, but like I think all she needs is a couple of those.
And she'll get it. Just like we say, persistence. Just keep doing it. Keep at it.
So here's the thing. I interviewed an artist once. He goes, "You start making these pieces. You think you're going to sell them to your friends for 40 or 50 bucks because, like, they can't afford it or whatever." He goes, "But they don't buy them. You need to sell your shit for 500 bucks, and rich people will buy it."
Right.
And so Stacy, we're trying to get Stacy there.
Right.
Trying to get her to raise, like, every time she sells a piece, she's – because I can't try to be my wife's business manager. That's bad news. But, like, she's starting to get there where it's like, honey, you're fucking worth it. This shit is awesome.
And it's a mentality.
Right.
Like I figured out really quick – like, I would build pieces, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to, like, sell it for cheap just to get it out there.
Right, right.
And people would not pay attention because it was cheap. But if I put, like, $3,000 on something, everybody wants it.
Kevin.
It's so backwards.
Kevin, yesterday, I was looking at stickers. Okay? Looking at buying stickers.
Right.
This is so fucking perfect and timely, Kevin Fuller. Looking to buy stickers, okay? Have somebody working with me. I go, I want you to price out some stickers for me, some ORM stickers. This one's 500 and change for 1,000. This one's 400 and change. This one's 300 and change for 1,000. She's like, go with this one. They're the least expensive. And my first thought was, they probably suck.
Right.
And then I thought, absolutely, how many bids have I lost?
Right.
Like, when I had the staffing company, how many bids did I lose? Because that's exactly where my mind went.
Right.
And so I even said, I go, do the reviews look good? Is there hidden fees? She goes, no, they look legit. And I go, okay, go with it. And it's like, we're trained to think, 300, 600, 500, go with 500. Go with the middle price.
Right.
Right? You're saving a little bit. It's like, right?
Right.
So how fucked up is that?
Very. And I posted something on Instagram a couple weeks ago where it's like, when my price is cheap, those are always the worst clients on earth to work with.
Everybody can, yeah.
Jesus. Oh, my God. But like, if I charge somebody an arm and a leg, they pay on time. They, you know, I can... I can make mistakes, and I can communicate with them and say, this is what's going on. But nah, man, those the cheap clients, I was like, nah.
But there is, but I feel like that's a lesson you have to learn.
Absolutely.
As a business.
Absolutely.
When someone starts out, whether it's whatever it is, contractor, painter, whatever it is, and they're like, I just want somebody to give me some money.
Right.
And we and the experienced person says, no, 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 get what you're worth, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you don't, what would you say to that person? Like, if someone asks you, like, hey, I'm starting to sell art, or I'm a rapper, or whatever. Like, I just want to get paid. Like, I can't, no one's going to pay me $1,000. I just want to get paid. You wouldn't tell them no, right?
Nah, it's practice. It's absolute practice. You know, like, get comfortable with it and get used to no. You know, and be okay with no. Like once you know your worth, and if someone can't afford you, be okay. They are doing you a favor not paying you your worth. Because if they give you less, they're going to so take you for a ride. It's going to be such a headache. So just hang in there. Somebody's going to come along and get and understand your value and know what's happening. Yeah, like absolutely. Say she should be selling her paintings for $1,000 and then sign River's name at the bottom and sell them for $2,500.
Oh, because it's like, look, a seven-year-old made this.
Seven-year-old made this, right. Like this backwards. You know, like, social media is, like, the value of things have changed, you know? Like, I'm very introverted, as you know. I'm very, like, to myself. But, like, I still miss connections with good people.
Because?
Just the honesty, you know? Just, like, I know if you and I talk, after a while, you can be like, Kevin, stop that shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, I get a ton of DMs from, like, women will DM me. Like, I love your furniture.
Right.
Like, okay, great. Do you want to buy a piece of furniture? No, but what are you doing this weekend? And I'm like, what happened to the furniture? Like, you know, people, they have this perception of who I am. So they like the perception that, or the persona that.
So wait, are you telling me that they think they're gonna sleep their way to some free furniture?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you were a young man, you might take that offer, right?
Way younger, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But now I'm like, nah, it's not. It just bugs me out that people think they knew who I am. Like it trips me out. I'm like, that's really what you think I do? Like, yeah, you know, because I made like a reference on Facebook about doing cocaine. So like, someone DM me like, hey man, like, do you know somebody in Atlanta where I really can get cocaine? I'm like, no, it's just a joke. I'm not. You know, I don't do drugs. You know, I stopped drinking. I've been sober, I think 38.
Not a little weed once in a while, a little.
38 days. Nah, I'm done, man. I'm done, bro. I'm done. Like, there's nothing more. I don't know. And it's not that I was a heavy drinker at all. Like, I would drink socially and things like that.
Right.
But then I was like, why am I drinking? I'm drinking to be social. I'm drinking so that this person I don't like likes me.
Right.
I was like, this is a waste. And it's a waste of money. And it puts weight on your body.
All those,
like,
things.
I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Did you hear what's his name said? What Earn? What's Earn's real name?
Earn. Childish Gambino, or what's his Donald Glover?
Donald. Do you hear what Donald Glover said about somebody asked him why the people in Atlanta smoke weed so much?
What'd he say?
He said because they, like all black people, have PTSD.
Absolutely. There's ways to deal with it. I go to therapy for mine. You know, so.
But I'm just saying that landed on me. Like, I mean, I think not to use this overused term woke or awoken, but I know that the last year has been, and I'm you know me, I'm pretty hip,
pretty woke, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Pretty
semi woke, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I got to say that it did bring this last summer did bring a lot of clarity to me,
right?
In terms of like. How do I explain it? Like, basically this idea of, like, we thought when Rodney King happened, right?
Right.
So we're all remember, like, oh, well, like, no, this has been going on. They just turned cameras on it. Like,
right.
That was that.
Right.
And when George Floyd happened, it was like
whoa.
Really? This is really how they treat, this is really what it's right. like. This is right. really what it's like. That kind of is what, like, shifted with me.
Right. Yeah, I think, and now it's like, what are we going to do with the information? You know, now that everyone's seen this, now that everyone knows what's happening, like, what are we going to do now? Like, what's next? Like, how are we going to stop this from happening? And I will say, like, living in Atlanta for African American, I hate that term, for black people, like, we're really sheltered here. Like, if you live inside the perimeter, I mean, you have to go really, really far, really, really far outside the perimeter for someone to understand, like, what it is to be black and white and be a cop and black. A white cop pulling over a black person. You know, like, we're really privileged. I tell everybody, like, in Flint, Michigan, they're boycotting bad water. Atlanta, black people are boycotting Houston's. It's like we have no concept of what's happening.
Is Houston still a thing?
Oh, yeah. They changed their policies. It was a whole thing. They boycotted Houston for a little bit. Yeah, it's like a whole thing. Like, you know, Baltimore was protesting Freddie Gray. Atlanta did a Gucci protest against the Gucci clothing line. It's like we are so insulated here. And it's not a bad thing. Like, it's a great place to raise a black child. You know, if I had a kid, I would definitely raise him in Atlanta. But still, you got to teach them, like, what happens outside this city. Like, we've really, you know, have discovered, like, you know, we live in a bubble. We're in a serious bubble, you know, and we feel the pain of what's happening around us, but we don't experience the pain. You know, that whole incident at Wendy's with that guy, like, name another incident before that in Atlanta that was that bad, you know, or was that egregious, you know. Let's not count Clayton County, because we know Clayton County's crazy, but...
I don't spend a lot of time in Clayton County.
Oh, no. I don't either.
That Wendy's is 2 miles from my house, though. Two and a half. Oh, yeah, dude. You know where I live.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where the Wendy's is.
It's east of the stadium. So my house, Turner Field. So my house to Turner Field is right there. Right there. And then it's, you know what I mean? Or I'm trying to think. No, it's south of Turner Field, Wendy's. Anyway, not far from my house.
Right. And it's all sad, but, like, you know, we've built a great utopia here in Atlanta. Please, no one move here. Like, stay where you are if you hear this podcast. But we've built a great utopia here in Atlanta. You know, we're still, I don't know. Well, you live in the West End, so you tell me, like, do you still feel like the city's kind of integrated, kind of segregated, like you have, like, you know, still have the white flight in Roswell in the north side?
I mean,
I'm pretty
insulated because I spend so much time down here, right? Because I don't drive out to the burbs
right.
much. I mean, honestly, you know, I don't know how much time we want to spend on this, but
but
we're on a text thread that I was fucking disturbed by.
Mm.
It's like when you find out that someone you think was pretty smart, like, votes for Trump or doesn't believe that thinks COVID's a hoax, like somebody that you like.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I thought this was just the fucking rednecks.
Right.
And I got to say, this idea of people, and we won't name names on here, that we like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful.
Very.
Right?
Very.
So I can't say we're that sheltered when those people are my friends and they live in the burbs and it's like
exactly.
Like you think systemic racism doesn't exist to say, that's basically what you're saying.
Statistics, yeah.
Like systemic racism like
right.
Like sure it's a little different, but it's not, and it's like, dude,
right. And the thing is, like, I don't care what you believe, but have some empathy. You know, we have this saying in our men's group, and you know this. If 3 men say you're dead,
you may want to lie down.
You might want to lie down.
Right.
So if 25 million people are marching through different cities around the country,
right,
we might want to stop and say, hey, maybe we should take a look at this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's how I approached a particular person that was in a text thread that really pissed me off.
Right.
Like, I don't care what you believe, but have empathy. Like, be open to understanding and listening to what's going on, whether they're right or wrong.
Right. Like, I would have expected that from, say, Crosley. Right.
Yeah.
Not the man who we're talking about.
Right.
Who, like, I love and who took me home when one of my sons was born and, like, who I trust. Like, I love that guy. And it was like, again, I know anybody's listening has that experience where you find yourself sitting across the table from someone having this argument that you're like, how am I having this fucking argument?
Right. But the thing I respect about Crosley is he's empathetic.
Right. I just meant someone like Crosley lives in fucking Marietta and whatever.
Yeah.
No disrespect, Crosley. Love you, man.
Love you, Steve.
If you're listening, you're probably
love
not.
You, Crosley. Right. But, like, you know.
He's got a southern accent. How about that?
There you go. Okay.
So you might expect different.
So I like people with southern accents that have empathy.
Right.
Like, I don't need you to understand me. I don't need you to save the community. Just listen.
Right.
That's it. You know, just imagine like this country if we just listen to each other. You know, like it's really that simple. You know, I was, and I've said this a few times, like, I was never a Democrat until Obama ran. Only because I owned businesses for so long.
Right.
And I hated Democrats. Like I still hate the Democrats, you know. But, like, I understand that it's not about me. It's about all of society and what we're doing for everybody. Now, I still preach, like, people shouldn't depend on government. Like, you know, do for self. But, like, yeah, man, I'll speak for me. I experienced 4 years of nothing but anxiety every day. What's the tweet this morning?
Right.
What's going to happen today? You know, people getting hurt and things getting swept under the rug. Like, you know, women even getting hurt and things swept under the rug. Like, there was no rules. There was no rules. They gave everybody the freedom to be who they truly were, which is great. But, like, you know, we still got to respect one another.
Yeah, I got to say, I've slept better since the election.
Isn't that crazy?
The first 2 weeks, I just remember every day waking up and just, you know what I mean?
Right. Isn't it crazy?
It is.
Like, we have, like, one human being can drive us one way or another. You know, like, and every day I was like, all right, I'm not going to let him, like, disrupt my day.
Right.
I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to be on Facebook.
Right.
I don't want to do that. Like, but it was so hard. Like, everywhere you turned, he was there.
Right, because it's not just the one person. It's I remember when in, like, Biden's first week, and there was some stuff coming out about the vaccine, and it was like, oh, there's a competent person on the stage.
Right.
Like, that's all we fucking ever wanted.
Right.
Like, listen, politicians are politicians. I'm not blind to that.
Right.
But when it comes to, like, oh, at least I think you're a competent human being. At least right. I think you have a fucking heart up there.
Right.
Like, that's
it. And that's where I stand. Like, I don't care who you are, what you do, but, like, empathy, man. Empathy. Like, get up there and lie to me. I know you are, but just have empathy. You know, just you know, pat me on the back after you lie to me. Say, look, I'm sorry I lied to you, but I had to. Like, I get that. Like, if the orange man was taking a different approach for 4 years, I think he'd still be president. You know, but you can't. I think America, again, proved that you really can't divide us anymore. Yeah, you really can't divide everybody anymore.
We're pretty divided, though, Kevin.
We are, but we all voted, and we all put him in. And here's the thing. Like, black people make up, what, 13% of the country still? I have no idea how we still make up 13% of the country after 400 years, but that's a whole nother story. But, you know, like, the same people that voted for Trump the first time are the same people that voted for Biden this time. It's that there's no other explanation.
Right. Like, more like the turnout wasn't that much.
Right. Right. We can't determine who's president. We don't have enough power.
Right.
Supposedly, you know, to determine who's president. So, like, we need allies.
The other thing is because it was so shitty for so long, we thought they were going to pull the rug out from under us. It was like, okay, the election came in, the votes came in, he's running around saying it's not true. Like, he's going to pull some shit. And so it was like, that's why we breathed easier.
Right.
Breathed easier.
Right.
When it happened, it was like, okay, right. All right, democratic system does work,
right.
At least partially, right?
Right, right, exactly. So it was just... All right, let's move on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
That was heavy.
Yeah, sorry, man.
That was the rough 4 years. Yeah,
sorry, buddy.
It's cool, man. It's cool. You know, but people like you and I, we kept hustling. Things worked for us.
And that's the thing, too, is that I stayed off of it for the almost... Because that's it. It's like, I've got me. I've got my family. I've got the people that I love. I got the people I interact with. I have this community that I serve, essentially, for doing this obstacle stuff.
Right.
Unfortunately... my wife, and again, I'm not going to control my wife. My wife would watch it. My wife wanted to be more quote unquote informed. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like, I'm not really down with that. So the last, it's been like forever since we actually like talked, like we've texted a couple of times.
Yeah.
But we haven't like hung out in a really, really long time.
Forever. Yeah. Because Jackson was like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
No, Jack, of course Jackson knows
last
you.
Last time I was there, yeah.
You came here, and we hung out with Andrew, right?
Here was Andrew eons ago. I think we both met Andrew around the same time.
Right.
And then I was at the house a couple months ago.
Well, speaking of Andrew, I went back and listened to this old episode of this guy, Mishka. By the way, go back and listen to the Mishka Shibali episode. It's a great episode. Great dude.
All right, I'll check it out.
And you probably heard it the first time. And at the beginning of the show, I said, I want to shout out these three friends of mine who have shows. And none of those shows are happening anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it reminded me, I was happy for how consistent I've been with my other stuff. This show, not as consistent.
Right.
But it just reminded me, the only way to succeed is to never let down.
That's it. Consistent.
Because I named three shows and they're all gone. And it's only been 2 years.
Yeah. And I get some of them made choices to be gone.
Right.
And some of them are just, you know, gone. But, yeah, man. And that's why I stay on your ass about this podcast. Like, dude, you got a good thing. Like,
you could be the biggest fan of the Atlanta podcast.
Like, keep it rolling, man. Like, stop playing. Like, keep it rolling.
I appreciate that. And this other business that I also love takes up a lot of time. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, great. Now it's time to hire a team, start managing teams.
Checking out your glasses.
Oh, yeah. Start managing teams and, like, you know. You know how to do this.
I do. And again, remember, there's five people I'm feeding. If I don't have to feed one of those people, that's probably a full-time person right there.
Right. Exactly.
But I got to feed all these. They got to get older and move the fuck out of the house.
That's true. But you remember, like, what was the what did the old man tell us about the suckhole? Like, the higher up you get,
right,
the lower problems get solved.
Right.
So 10 employees, the rest of your problems might get solved.
Maybe. I hadn't heard that in a long time. I forgot about the world sucks chart. If you want a diagram of the world sucks chart, DM me or Kevin.
Yeah.
I forgot about the world sucks chart.
We'll send you one. Yeah, because it's like yourself,
right?
Family and friends, and then like business, and then the rest of the world.
Right.
And the higher up you go, the rest below you get taken care of.
Let's talk about this, Kevin Fuller.
Yeah, let's talk about it. And it's a tough concept to grab.
Well, we got a lot of people on Instagram. We got a lot of people on the YouTube telling us how they're there to help. They're there to serve.
Right.
And I don't buy it for two fucking seconds. And most of them are fucking garbage. I was just on a thing.
Uh-huh.
A thing. A fucking thing.
Right.
Bunch of people, like, how to monetize your content, right?
Right.
And every time I see one of these, I look at these people's followings. They're mostly garbage. What they have to say is mostly garbage. They've never actually fucking done it, right?
But they're selling content.
They're selling stuff that says they are. So anyway, they're all saying, like, yeah, I wake up every day, and who can I serve? And I want to reach more people. It's like, I have a hard time, and I always have, even while you and I, like, we're on men's teams, in this whole, like, I don't want to fucking save the world. I don't want to cure cancer. I want to make cool stuff.
Right.
I want to make fun stuff that I like doing. That's what I want to do, Kevin.
But you're honest with yourself about it. You know, and a lot of people are doing stuff because they want a check or they want money.
Well, and I want to support my family doing it.
And you will.
But I could say, I could make that up and say, well, I'm serving the world by providing blah, blah, blah. It's not true.
Yeah, but, like, your passion is allowing you to take care of your family. And that's how it works. Like, you know, and I had to learn that the hard way. I mean, you know, I had everything at one point in my life. And then when I lost everything, I really figured out it's not about the stuff, man. It's not. It's about, like, you know, time with your family, you know, seeing my nieces and nephews grow up. You know, my sister is like my business partner in two different businesses now. You know, like, never, ever would have happened. I didn't even know. I knew she was intelligent, but I didn't know how amazing she was. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, we never had the opportunity to interact on, like, you know, anything but, oh, that's my brother, hey.
Right.
You know, or watch your nieces and nephews, hey, bye.
Right.
You know, but, like just enjoying my family, like, enjoying my dad. You know, my parents are retiring. Well, they're trying to retire. They're not going to let my dad retire. But, you know, just enjoying just the little stuff, man.
Do you want to talk about when you say losing everything? Do you want to talk about more specifically, or?
Nah, I'm kind of over it now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of good. Yeah, you know. So, like, and to circle back around, that's why I came back to, like, being with the men and starting a men's team, which we'll talk about later offline, and starting another men's team, because from, like, 2017 to now, it was grind, 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 survive, 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 survive,
right.
Survive, survive, and then I was like, hold up, like, you know, I was given this lesson that's not what's important. What's important is being with friends and family and giving to others. That's what's important. So I was like, all right, I need to, like, go back to, like, where my blessings came from. Let me get back with my men. Let me, like, and it was funny. It all was a phone call. It was a simple phone call. I got this phone call Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was Dominic Kruba. I was like, why is he calling me? And, like, you know, usually I prefer text over phone calls. but I answered the phone. He said, hey, Fuller, how you doing? I was like, I'm lonely, man. I was like, I'm lonely. He was like, well, I was just calling to say hi. But, like, it hit me, like, you know, the privilege that I have to be amongst great men, you know. And, like, and greatness isn't about, like, what they have in their pocket, but, like, who they are mentally. You know, what they give to you. Like, I've learned to appreciate being gone so long. Like, I have appreciation for, I'm not going to say every man, most men, you know, and where they are in their station in their life. You know, and that's it. Like, not everybody wants what I want. That's okay, you know, but they still have value and purpose. And that's, I love that about people. I love that about men. Like, you know, stop. I no longer approach things as, like, what can I get from this person? But, like, how... you're good at this. Like, how can I enjoy just being in your space? Like, what can I give them and what are they going to give me? And what, how am I going to grow from this conversation? Like, you're really good at that. Just being with people and just, you know, like, taking in the good and throwing out the bad. Like, you're really, really good at that. And that's what I look for, man. Like, you know, now I tell people, like, don't call me on the phone. Send me a message. Say, when do you want to have coffee? We'll schedule it. We'll sit down. We'll just talk.
Right.
You know, because phones, it's just another barrier between us.
Right.
It's just another way for conversations to get obscured. Text messages. I don't text. Nothing serious.
Just jokes.
Just jokes. You know, but, like, you just never know, man. Like, we need each other. Like, we truly need each other as human beings. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm off that.
What part of town are you in these days?
I'm in Fairburn, so I have my house in Fairburn.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. Love it. Every day I complain, like, oh, my God, I got to drive. And then it's 20 minutes to downtown. I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. You know, but I love it down there.
You know, they closed one of your spots, dude.
Which one?
Octane.
Octane. Yeah.
I thought about you. I drove by and it was gone. I was like, oh, that was one of Kevin's dope spots.
Yeah.
And the Delia's right there, too.
Yeah. I wonder why Delia's.
I just don't think it survived the pandemic. I just don't think.
Yeah. Wow. But they could have, though. They're still doing Frozen stuff, though, right?
I mean, I think you can go to the original one on Moreland.
Nope, closed.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's closed.
We used to, that was like the original Friday morning.
Yeah, man.
I'm fucking pissed. I'm getting my phone out right now. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, man. Every time I go by, they're closed. So, and I go by during the day and everything, you know.
Hang on.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on. Delia's. Did you ever listen to that interview? She was awesome.
Awesome. Yep, listen to that one.
She was fucking great. Delia's Chicken Sausage temporarily closed. Yep.
See?
Motherfucker. Pandemic fucks some people up, man.
Absolutely.
It just says restaurants temporarily closed. That's it.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll come back.
I mean, everyone had to pivot in this pandemic. Like, everyone. It was funny. I'd watch you on Instagram. You'd be like, hey, I'm in the streets. It's just me. I'm parking. Parking's free. What was that? God, what was the name of that movie? I Am Legend.
Right.
With Will Smith. That's what I kept thinking of when you're in the streets. Hey, I'm in the streets.
So I look back on it now. And Jason Hoke is the one who hooked me up with that spot,
mm-hmm.
podcast dude, because he has an office there.
Mm.
But if you've been to those offices at WeWork, it's like a little fucking aquarium cage. Like, there's no way I could ever sit in there. But I literally sat 9C every day for a fucking year.
Wow.
And I'd park downtown and there was no cars.
Right.
No nothing.
Right.
No nothing. But the Starbucks was open mostly. Some days it was closed. Some weird days it was closed. And the fucking Moe's was open. No, the Moe's wasn't open at first. And so that's what I did. I would just go downstairs. I would go to Moe's, come back up. And just me and my boy Mike would work every day.
Right.
And I said to myself, when they start, I can leave my car here all day with no tickets.
Right.
When I start getting tickets, the world is back.
Right.
And sure enough, I got a ticket. I waited a day. Went back, another ticket. I was
like, the world's back.
One day I fucking paid it.
Right.
Okay. Or moved when I was supposed to, and they still give me a ticket. And I was like, all right, I think this is it.
Yeah.
I think it was a good year.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the world is back.
But I like you better at this spot anyway. This is more you.
Yeah. Well, no, this is definitely more me.
Yeah.
Good old. So now we're back to the original home of this podcast.
This is definitely, yeah.
But listen, it's like leaving the team, coming back to the team. It's
exactly.
Like life, every life has a season, has a cycle.
Absolutely.
Catherine was more than willing to take me back when I came back here.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. And the way I divide Atlanta is, do you like Pont City Market or do you like Krog Street?
For sure.
Yeah. If you like Pont City, we probably aren't going to be friends.
Right.
Yeah. But if you love Krog Street, we could probably hang out. You're probably a cool little person.
Right.
You know.
But I can't, you know, I used to eat at Fred's like 3 times a week and I put on 20 pounds, dude.
You can't do that, bro.
No.
Can't do that. And that's another thing I learned like in the past 5 years, like freedom isn't free, man. Like,
did you just quote George Bush?
Bro, maybe. I don't care who it is. It's true.
George used to say that a lot.
It's so true. Like, you know. You hustle to this point where you don't need anyone and you can feed yourself and feed your family, but it's a life of commitments. Like, you can't wake up and just do whatever the heck you feel like it. And like I did for a while, like during the pandemic, I probably did whatever the heck I wanted to do, you know, and like my body is feeling it now. Like, hey, bro, like you really got to pay attention to what's going on. Like, you really got to start making commitments to yourself and commitments to people if you want to take your business like more serious and grow your business.
Right. Uh-oh.
You know.
Marshall's here.
All right. Not for me. My taxes are paid.
Did you get that stimmy money, bro?
I did not.
Did you get any of that PPP?
Heck no.
Why do you say heck no?
I just wasn't going to play with it.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I was not either, Kevin Fuller, until my friend, shout out my friend Dave, said, you might want to look into this.
Right.
And we got a check. And because of the bank we went through, I think we got another one coming.
Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Good for you. I'm terrified. Anytime the government gives me something for free.
You're a little worried about it?
I'm terrified. Like, you know, when they vaccinated me for free, I'm like, fuck it. What's my chip number? Like, just I don't trust it. You know, like,
but you got it. But you still got it.
The vaccine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we have a healthcare company and we take care of seniors. So
right.
I got it. I got it done. Yeah. And for my parents' sake, to be around my parents. So I got it done.
Right.
Yep. I am fully vaccinated. I've been vaccinated probably a month and a half now.
Right.
Yep. I am a robot. 213.
What is this dude doing? Oh, is she learning how to back up?
You ever watch Clone Wars or any of that?
No.
On Disney?
Mm-mm.
Okay, yeah. So Clone Wars, basically, well, you know, like the Stormtroopers and how they're all just programmed and they were made from, like, Boba Fett and
right.
all that stuff. And, like, they had an episode the other day where, like, one of their chips went bad. And, like, they have this show called Bad Batch, which is about Stormtroopers who basically go rogue and they don't take orders no more because their chips are bad. That's how I feel about the vaccine. Like, they're going to send us a message and say, hey, you know... Turn on.
Did you watch Mandalorian?
I did. Loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it.
What about WandaVision?
I did. Liked it. Captain America? Well, I'm sorry.
Winter Soldier.
The new show, man.
Winter Soldier is the new show.
Nah.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
I just said.
Yeah, but you forgot Falcon. Come on, man.
I got through like one episode of that.
It gets better. I will say that. I will say that, like, I understand what they were doing, you know, but so I posted on Facebook after a couple episodes. I was like, well, they might as well move Falcon and Winter Soldier to BET. They lost half their audience. I was like, nah,
you know,
they watching this in Ohio.
Speaking of Fairburn, you know, they're shooting Black Panther 2 right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a big movie theater over behind my house. Like, they shot Black Panther over there. Kevin Hart does all his movies over there. Will Smith was shooting over there for something. And then down the street towards Palmetto and Serenby and all that, they do Walking Dead.
Well, this place is where they have had the Tough Mudder the last couple of years.
Mm.
This, it looks like Bucaret Farms. It's probably not pronounced that way,
okay.
But that's where they shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to be the new Black Panther, or what's the good of the storyline going to be?
Do we I have know? No idea. Can I say on record that Black Panther was the worst Marvel movie that Marvel's ever made to me?
All right, you're the one who sent me a flyer that said, we're going to the blackest black party ever.
And I did. I celebrated Black Panther coming out, and like the first half of the movie I loved, and then I was like,
What was the name of that party?
It was the blackest black party.
It was like we finally have our own fucking movie. We have our own superhero.
Right.
Life is amazing.
Right.
And then you didn't like it.
I didn't like the movie, no. The event was great. I had a great time at the event. But the movie was... They could have done better. And I will say this. Okay, so... Not to get political, but like, as a 40-year-old man, when I hear Black Panther, I hear... Huey P. Newton,
right.
Stokely Carmichael,
right.
Fred Hampton, you know, black kids when they turn 48 that are like 7, 8, 9, 10 teenagers now,
right.
When they get my age and they hear Black Panther, they're going to think the movie from Marvel.
Right. Wakanda Forever.
Right. So it's kind of like, you know, we've been, God, I hate saying that, especially live. Like, it's like the erasing of history. Like, you know, and I get that it's our responsibility to teach the next generation, but parents are lazy. Parents suck. Like, you know, there's some good ones out there, but like, I take that back. Parents don't suck. Technology is such that it moves so fast. Parenting is hard. Like, I love your kids because every time I see your kids, they're outside. You know, they're running, they're playing, like they're with people and they're experiencing people. But dude, you're the anomaly. Like, you really are. Like, most kids are, like, you know, headsets on, playing PlayStation. They don't go outside. They don't interact with people. They're socially awkward at school, you know. And your kids are like, hey, what's up? What's happening? Like we need that. Like, we do not value that enough, the need for kids to learn how to be social. Learn how to be in a fight. Like, learn how to not call mommy and daddy when something happens. Learn how to go get your basketball back when someone takes your basketball. you know, and like, I'm terrified for the future. Like, Trump was bad, but can you imagine, like, you know, when these kids grow up and want to be president? Jesus. And everybody's going to get participation trophies? Oh, come on. I'll be in Asia, but, you know, hey.
That'll be in Asia, did you say?
I'll be in Asia.
You're moving to Asia?
I want to, bad.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. When is this? Is there a rocket ship to Asia? What is this?
Nah, I just really enjoyed being over there when I was there. You know, it's one of the best memories I've had, I've created, was being over in Asia. So,
well, if you're a fan of the show, and I know you are, you know that we like to close with some Atlanta favorites questions.
Let's do it.
Which I think we might have even done the first time, but it's been so long. I don't even remember what your answers were, but I'm very curious to know what they are. I realize I just forgot to do with my last guest, with Matt Hinton. By the way, go watch his movie. I interviewed him, then I just watched the movie. It's called Parallel Love.
Okay.
It's a documentary about this band called Luxury.
Where is it on?
Just type it into your frickin' Roku. I watched it on Amazon for $3.99, but you can watch it on all the platforms.
All right, I'll check it out.
If you listen to the podcast, which I know you will, you hit the little button, it'll send you to all the platforms.
Okay, cool. I'll check them out.
All right. We talked for like 2 hours. So anyway, I realized I forgot to ask him the questions, though. I start with, what is your go-to order at the Waffle House, Kevin?
I'll start with chicken
and
a waffle. I love a light waffle, not a dark waffle.
Okay. Watch out now. Somebody's getting served. Who are you looking for? Unit which? I think this is C, so I don't know. Somebody's getting served.
That's awesome. Good day. The world is back.
The world is definitely back if people are showing up getting served.
All right.
I'm currently in a lawsuit. I'll tell you about it later.
Sorry to hear that.
I've
been in many. You really don't get rich until you get through a lawsuit. So you're okay.
All right. What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
God, you would ask me that. Nowhere.
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 It's the first. That is definitely a new answer.
Yeah. Nowhere. I don't have a favorite place in Atlanta. I'm not. I'm no longer impressed. Like, you know, it's.
You know. All right. Rank these in importance to you.
All right.
Falcons, United, Braves, Hawks. Rank those in importance to you.
Hawks.
Okay.
United.
Okay.
And we have other teams in Atlanta?
We do have other teams in Atlanta.
Okay, all right. The Braves, because they won something. And then I'll say Falcons.
Okay. Why are you so down on the Falcons?
One, I'm a Ravens fan. That's
boo.
That's primarily because I'm a Ravens fan. But the Falcons just, yeah, man. Like, I don't know. It's like, the Falcons are like, you know, having divorced parents and waiting for your dad to show up and he never shows up. Like, you're really, really excited to see dad and dad never shows up. That's how I feel about the Falcons.
Wow. I like that analogy.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy. Kevin, Kroger or Publix?
Publix.
Because?
Cleaner.
Okay.
To me.
Okay.
It could be the lighting.
Right.
Service is always better.
Okay.
At Publix. So, yeah, Publix for sure. Yeah.
What's the best live show you ever saw in Atlanta?
Ooh, Outkast at Last. Period, bar none, hands down.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Quick, you said with that answer.
Yeah, yeah. Outkast at Last.
What year was that?
Oh, man, it was like their 20th or 25th anniversary here in Atlanta. I don't know the year. I could probably look it up yet, but I don't know the year.
Hey, Siri.
It was incredible. It was.
Let's find out.
They did 3 shows in 1 weekend.
We're going to look it up.
It was incredible.
She's knocking on doors. Glad it's not me.
Right. She's determined.
Just glad it's not me.
She's determined.
Outkast final performance at last weekend, September 28th, 2014. Does that sound right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Miss Jackson's girl was in the house.
It was incredible.
The highest light among many highlights of Outkast's third and final At Last concert in Centennial Olympic Park.
That Sunday, I was there.
Yep. Was the surprise appearance of Erykah Badu.
Yep.
Who joined Big Boy and Andre 3000, her baby daddy, as she called him.
Yep.
The concert began at 4 p.m. with a Southern Roundup performance, which included Killer Mike, 8-Ball, MJG, and Gip Goody.
Yep.
Wow, this looks a pretty good show.
And actually, it started before that. It started like at noon, and they had like all the local artists there. And then like it was a whole day Sunday. Like anyone who ever like came from Atlanta and was an Atlanta artist performed there that day. That's number one. And then the next show was Outkast at One Music Fest. One Music Fest, hands down.
That was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
3 years ago, I think.
Like 2017, 2018.
Yeah, yeah. But hands down, One Music Fest is the best festival And I don't know if that's a question or not, but...
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast, Kevin?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. It depends on the conversation you want to have, really, but...
You could name more than one person if you want. She's walking away with those papers. She did not find the person she needed to serve. It is somebody's lucky day in apartment D, because she can't find D. They make no sense, by the way, because like we have delivery people all the time.
Right.
And the new ones, like, because there's some on the, if you, depending where Google Maps takes you,
right,
that back area, which
right,
we'll walk over to, like, the numbers jump. It's like F, U, and then D, right, and then C, and it's very fucked very up. So anyway, so, like, she's going to just keep sucking around. Uh-oh. It might not be the lucky day for apartment D.
Uh-oh. I'd love to see you interview Pinky over at Slutty Vegan.
Okay.
I'd love to see
you. So if you, Kevin, or you, the listener, has a connection... She's blown up so big.
Right.
She actually did answer me. When it first landed in the West End, I messaged right, her. She wrote me right back. And it was like, come down some day or whatever. But it's right, it's been like...
And I would...
I want to find out who's getting...
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what's happening.
I'm dying to know who's about to get served.
Hopefully it's not you.
It's definitely not me.
Yeah. But, uh-oh, she pointed at you. Maybe she's mad at you now. She's got a gun, Matt. Let's run.
Southeast Group.
Yeah,
your number's up, Southeast Group.
Yeah. Wonder what they. Who else would I like to see you?
So, but let's back up to Pinky.
Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna stand in line.
Right.
I'm like, I'll go eat there when the line is short. I'm not standing in line.
Don't do lines.
So yeah. I feel the same way about the chicken spot there in Little Five.
Right.
Like anytime I go by this line, I'm like, when that line's not there, that's when I'll go eat. Right. So anyway, if you got a connection to Pinky, I would also love to talk to her.
I don't, but I'd love to see you talk to her. There's also another dude I respect highly. He gets no pub, really quiet. This kid named Kevin Holt.
Okay.
They built Cafe Circa.
Where's that?
On Edgewood.
Okay.
They sold it many years ago, but now they do stuff in the airport. They do a lot of... restaurants in the airport, but super intelligent dude. Really easy to get along with, dude. But
does he know our mutual friend?
Which one?
Liano?
I don't think so.
Because Liano came by here once, and he was hanging with a dude who had a bunch of airport spots. And I was going to make
What's his name, Randy or Kevin?
I don't remember. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was asking.
I don't know. Kevin's pretty quiet, pretty low-key.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin Holt. Good dude. I'll send him a message.
All right. I'm checking out those sweet shades you got, dude. Where'd you get those?
Zlol. Yeah, man. They're little cheap frames. I just needed glasses so I could see. I'm blind.
You need to wear some glasses like DMC?
Exactly.
R.I.P.?
Yep.
All right, man. Good talk. Exactly.
Likewise, dude.
Bink.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there you go. That was my main man, Kevin. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you, as always, for listening to the Atlanta Podcast. If you have a friend or a guest or someone you suggest that I speak to, you can reach out to me. I'm super easy to get a hold of. I'm Matt B. Davis on Instagram. I'm at ATL Podcast on Instagram. MattBDavis@iCloud.com if you prefer the emails. Also, tell a friend. Love for you to tell a friend. Shoot a note. I know the old review thing is nice, but I'd honestly rather you tell a person about this show, because that's how we grow this thing, and we tell more people, hey, have you heard the Atlanta Podcast? Matt talks to a lot of interesting people. They're usually from Atlanta, but not always, and we have some good chats. So there you go, folks. Thanks for listening. As always, love ya, miss ya, mean it. I have got to run.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.